Welcome to the Empowered Equestrian Podcast. Here we will be talking about a miscellany of nutrition, mindset, fitness, homesteading, the pursuit of knowledge, and horses. I am your host, Lizanne Roy. I am a certified Western riding instructor, homesteader, and blogger. I am an ever-evolving, eclectic mess of a woman, driven by a passion to help people find their particular brand of crazy, whatever that happens to be. I hope to help myself and others live rich, multifaceted lives. Lives that have intricate webs of passions, hobbies, dreams, and pursuits that all play into one another and make each other stronger and build strong, empowered individuals. I am the Empowered Equestrian. Who are you? Today, I'm going to share a bit of the knowledge I have accumulated in my research for improving sleep. I used to have a lot of trouble falling asleep, staying asleep, and sleeping deeply. And these 10 changes helped me tremendously. Number 1, set a sleep goal. Of course, before setting a sleep goal, you might want to spend some time figuring out what the ideal number of hours of sleep is for you. This could be fairly difficult for a couple of reasons. If you have been sleep deprived for a long time, then you might not remember what a good night's sleep feels like, and maybe never really had one to begin with. On the other hand, if you have messed up your own sleep schedule, like I did, convincing myself that I only needed 6 to 7 hours of sleep, so that I could rationalize getting up at 7 a.m. or earlier in order to get my insane workouts in. In both scenarios, some experimentation and self-reflection is needed to find the truth. If you have been sleeping very little for a long time and you try to sleep in for 12 hours all of a sudden, you may very well feel like crap the next day. Then you may think that you actually don't really need that much sleep, when really you just overshot the mark a bit. I have found for myself, at least, that finding the, quote, Goldilocks zone is the best tactic. Not too much and not too little. Finding the perfect amount of sleep can be made a lot trickier if the quality of your sleep is also lacking. You can sleep all the hours you want, but you will still not be recovering properly if the quality of the sleep still stinks. And on a more positive note, you will be able to thrive on less hours of sleep if the quality of sleep is impeccable. The following tips will help improve the quality of your sleep as well. All of this is subjective, of course, and it's just what worked for me. But I hope, at the very least, this will help be a good starting point for you to help you find the issues. For me, it was a lot of little things together. But most of my research wanted to blame one big thing and claim one big solution. This was not the case for me, but maybe it is for you. I wanted to make a guide that would give all of the small solutions I found from the years of research in one place. So here goes. Number 2, figure out any nutrient deficiencies. For me, magnesium was a big one, but I also switched to a higher quality multivitamin. Although it has little to do, I think, with sleep quality, I have switched to a prenatal to help mitigate the symptoms of my post-birth control syndrome. See Dr. Jolene Brighton, Brighton Like the Sun, on Instagram for more on that. For you, it might be a different set of nutrients, and you may be able to supplement with only whole foods. But I know I need more than that to keep my levels up. Magnesium is a vital component for over 300 biochemical enzymes in our body. Magnesium is essential for many physiological functions, including hydration, energy production, muscle relaxation, deactivation of adrenaline, and yes, sleep. Having sufficient stores of magnesium doesn't necessarily guarantee a good night's sleep. However, having low magnesium levels will almost certainly contribute to poor sleep quality. For all of you who get cramps often or experience twitches or tightness in muscles or have cold hands and feet, sufficient quantity of magnesium in your diet will bring noticeable change in your sleep quality. Magnesium can be found in soy products, bananas, dried apricots, avocados, spinach, whole grains, milk, almonds, and cashews. Magnesium is a water-soluble vitamin, so it is relatively safe to experiment with, seeing as it won't build up in your system. Also, it is a very common deficiency in most people because of soil depletion. Basically, even the most nutritious whole foods may not have everything we need in them because they can't get it from the soil they are planted in the first place, or from the plants they eat in the case of meat products or eggs. Depending on the time of year or geographic location, vitamin D could also be an issue if you're not getting enough sunlight. This can mess with our internal circadian rhythm and can cause a shift in hormone balance. Vitamin D can be found in sunlight, obviously, but also oily fish, dairy products, egg yolks, and vitamin D fortified foods, although I would not suggest them. Also, we need melatonin to be produced properly in the body, as well to have good sleep and wake cycles. We can enhance natural production of melatonin by reducing exposure to blue light, the kind of blue light that comes from screens of devices like phones and computers and TVs. More on that in a bit. And by taking vitamin B12. Vitamin B12 can be found in fish, meat, poultry, eggs, and dairy products. Other vitamin and mineral deficiencies that may cause sleep issues include potassium. Potassium has been shown to improve sleep quality and prevents frequent waking. It can be found in bananas, avocados, spinach, sweet potatoes, and mushrooms. Selenium, a trace mineral required by the body for many functions, including sleep quality. Selenium can be found in Brazil nuts, shellfish, red meats, grains, eggs, chicken, liver, and garlic. Calcium. Calcium helps the brain use the amino acid tryptophan to manufacture the sleep-inducing substance called melatonin. If your body has a low level of calcium, you are likely to have disturbed sleep patterns and particularly issues with REM sleep, with the REM sleep phase as well. Normalizing your blood calcium levels can help restore the natural course of sleep. Calcium can be found obviously in dairy products, but also dark greens, fish, and citrus fruits are also rich sources of calcium. Another nutrient to look at is omega-3s. Research suggests omega-3 fatty acids from regularly consuming fish may boost your sleep quality, help you fall asleep more quickly, and improve your daytime performance. Be very careful with supplementing with omega-3s, as not all supplements are created equally. Do your research and make sure you trust the brand you are buying from. The best way to get omega-3s is fatty fish. If you are a vegan, you should consider still taking a fish oil, as there are three kinds of omega fatty acids. There's EPA, DHA, and ALA. ALA can be found in nuts and seeds and some other vegan sources. ALA is a precursor to EPA and DHA, but the conversion rate in our bodies is extremely low. Often less than 1% of ALA is converted to EPA or DHA. Meaning even if a food is rich in ALA, does not mean your body is getting much of it. You can simply look at your diet and what the totals of what you typically eat in a day add up to see if you might be missing something. But the best way to figure out if you may be missing a nutrient is to get some blood work done to determine the deficiencies, and ask your doctor about any supplements you want to try. Conventional doctors may not agree about or agree with taking vitamins as a sleep aid, but just ask them if there is any harm in trying and about the potential risks. Okay, on to number 3. Make a routine. A routine that helps you wind down is key, especially if you work close to the time that you go to sleep. It could be as simple as washing your face and putting on pajamas an hour before bed or so. Anything that you can do every day in a similar way and at a similar time to trigger your mind and your body to start thinking about thinking that sleep is coming. It is also important to have consistent bed and wake times throughout the week. It is okay to sleep in a bit once or twice per week, but sleeping in too much on your days off, however, could quickly start your body on a reset process. Then when you, on the next work day, when it comes around, you have to reset all over again. The same goes for vacations. If you wake up super late for a few weeks, then expect your body to adapt back to life as usual, you might have a hard time getting back into it. Experts suggest no more than 30 to 60 minutes deviation from your regular bedtime and wake time should be done on a regular basis. Okay. Number four, make a spectacle, or rather, buy some spectacles. Some blue light blocking glasses are a game changer. I have a pair that have clear lenses that I wear after the sun goes down, and another pair of clip-ons that have a slight tint of yellow that I use over my prescription glasses when using backlit devices. I thought these were a little woo when I first heard about them, but after a lot of research, I thought it was worth a try, seeing as you can find them on Amazon for around $20. I am so glad I did. As soon as I put them on, I could feel my eyes relax. And within a couple of weeks, I noticed a clear difference in my ability to fall asleep, as well as how deeply I slept. Sunlight contains red, orange, yellow, green, and blue light rays, and many shades of each of these colors. Depending on the energy and wavelength of the individual rays, also called electromagnetic radiation, combined, this spectrum of color creates what we call white light or sunlight. It's everywhere, including in sunlight. Researchers have determined that blue wavelengths at the high end of the light spectrum, right before UV, are beneficial during daylight hours because they boost attention, reaction, and mood. Artificial light is still a relatively new invention to modern humans, and exposure to this type of light may be drastically affecting our biology. For most of history, people rose and slept with the sun. Their circadian rhythm was effortlessly controlled by the light of the sun. Now, we experience light at all times of day and night, and a lot of it is artificial. Blue light in the amounts we are now exposed to has been found to contribute to macular degeneration and digital eye strain, in addition to the hormone disruption and circadian rhythm issues. You can also set most tablets and smartphones to use a blue light filter at certain times, and there are third-party applications for most computers as well, although the glasses seem to work better and also block out most of the ambient blue light as well. Number five, herbal teas and smart caffeine intake. There are so many to choose from, and they don't need to be inherently relaxing herbs necessarily, as just the act of making a tea and the soothing warmth from it can help you wind down. But if you're having some more severe sleep issues, especially ones involving being, quote, wired and tired, valerian tea can be a huge help. I love David's Tea. They have so many amazing blends and varieties made especially for sleep issues and anxiety. In addition to valerian, chamomile and peppermint can also be great ways to calm down at night. Avoiding caffeine, of course, is a bit of a given, but worth mentioning regardless. Caffeine can stay in your system for 12 hours or more. So that cup of espresso that you had to beat the afternoon slump could still be with you when you're trying to catch some Z's. Personally, I avoid coffee after noon, but still will sometimes have a matcha green tea mid-afternoon or early evening. Due to matcha's combination of phytonutrients, the caffeine in matcha is assimilated in a very different and much healthier way than coffee or black tea. The caffeine in matcha binds to the larger catechine molecules that can also act as powerful antioxidants, and is released into the bloodstream slower over time, as the catechines are broken down and assimilated. The result is a slow dissemination of caffeine that provides sustained energy for up to 6 to 8 hours. This synergy within matcha also prevents the insulin and adrenaline spikes typical for coffee or black tea intake. So you never have to experience that crash that follows when your blood sugar drops. Number 6, mood lighting. Even if you have the blue light blocking glasses, and especially if you don't, make sure to set the sleepy time mood with the lighting in your home. Warm red tone bulbs with low wattage are the best, and make for a much more relaxing environment as an added bonus. It is also important that you get a good dose of natural sunlight as soon as it is available in the morning. Get outside for an early morning walk, open the windows, and absorb some vitamin D. Just don't go crazy and stare at the sun. Too much of a good thing at all. Number 7, keep your cool. The temp in your room makes a huge difference. There are a lot of studies that out there on the ideal temperature, but I think it really depends on the person. I have read the ideal sleep temp is around 17 degrees Celsius, but I would freeze and be incredibly uncomfortable at that temperature, whereas my husband would be in heaven. So we compromise with the thermostat around 20, which is around the middle of both for both of us. If you have a smart thermostat, you can even set it to lower the temp after you go to bed and raise it back up before you wake up, so you're not cold when you get out of bed. Number 8. Balance your diet. This is a big one. Make sure you are eating a good balance of macronutrients for you. That will take more experimentation, as with most things, to find out. But it's well worth it for all-around health, as well as good sleep. For me, I have found sticking to high fat and protein helps stop me from getting hangry or crashing. I do need a fairly decent amount of carbs most days, but I spread them out throughout the day. I also make sure to stock up on proteins rich in tryptophan first thing in the morning. This helps production of melatonin to support better sleep later on. I also try to avoid heavy doses of certain types of carbs at night so as to not spike my blood sugar. Carbohydrate-rich foods like whole grains, potatoes, or rice can affect circadian rhythm and induce sleep. Carbs create high spikes of insulin that will make you feel sluggish and sleepy. Remember your Thanksgiving dinner? It's not the tryptophan contained in the turkey like most people think, but it's actually the change of insulin that slows down your body and makes you sleepy. Number 9, darken your room. Plain and simple, turn off the lights, cover the chargers, and get some blackout curtains if you must. Make it pitch black in there or wear a sleep mask. Trust me, it makes a huge difference. Number 10. Reduce stress and avoid chronically elevated cortisol. It's also really helpful to have practices throughout the day that help you reduce your overall stress levels. Specifically, anything you have a tendency to obsess about at night while trying to fall asleep, or things that wake you up in the middle of the night. But also just anything that is contributing to your stress overall. In a healthy body, the stress response turns on and off quickly and unconsciously, allowing relaxation to take over. You work hard during the day and then you rest in the evening. You rev up for unforeseen challenge and then you let go of the tension and return to a relaxed state. In this balanced state, stress is tolerable and even enjoyable. At worst, life is full of manageable crises that are laid to rest at the end of each day. At best, life is full of exhilarating challenges that bring out your best, leaving you satisfied and fulfilled. However, when cortisol remains elevated chronically, your body receives an energizing signal that makes it difficult to relax and fall asleep. Instead, you are likely to find yourself obsessing about things that you need to get done or frantically trying to get lots done until you start to realize that it's the middle of the night. Oftentimes, we are not even aware of our stress levels because either we are too busy being busy to notice, or we are trying to ignore the elephant in the room. Either way, practices such as meditation, see episode 3 on different kinds of meditation aside from conventional mindfulness exercises, journaling and scheduling can all be great ways to reduce stress. Along with a solid self-care routine, this should help cortisol be kept at manageable levels and stop it from impeding your sleep. Self-care can be literally anything that makes you feel like you are recharging your batteries. It doesn't have to be all about face masks and massages unless that is what you want. It could be going for a walk, doing something creative, or playing a video game. You are only limited by your imagination. So to sum up, all 10 of my suggestions. Find your ideal amount of sleep through experimentation. Figure out if you may be deficient in any nutrients, specifically magnesium, vitamin D, vitamin B12, potassium, selenium, calcium, and omega-3. Make a sleep routine to wind down. Get blue light blocking glasses and/or put filters on your devices. Pay attention to your caffeine intake and supplement with herbs such as valerian, peppermint, or chamomile if desired. Change out your bulbs for dimmer, softer light for the evenings. Keep your room cool at night. Eat a balanced diet that's fit for you. Make your room as dark as possible. Reduce stress and avoid chronically elevated cortisol.
Thank you for listening. If you like the show, I would love if you left a review and let me know your thoughts. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. TheEmpoweredEquestrian.ca is the hub for everything talked about on the show. Questions can be submitted to info@TheEmpoweredEquestrian.ca. Also find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook @TheEmpoweredEquestrian. Bye for now.